Bringing World to the Classroom, the podcast, is supported by the U.S. Embassy in Bratislava. From the Slovak Spectator, this is Bringing World to the Classroom, seemingly unrelated stories that have shaped and continue to shape the world for the better. I'm your host, Peter Dlhopolec. The World Meteorological Organization, which falls under the United Nations, said 2019 was the second warmest year on record after 2016. Besides, since the 1980s, each decade has been warmer than the previous one, and this trend is not expected to reverse because of a huge amount of heat-trapping greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. As a result, more hurricanes, storms, and droughts are to occur. One example for all, extensive bushfires in Australia. 2019 was the warmest year in this country since 1910. While politicians are failing to tackle the issue of climate change, young people are walking out onto the streets in protest following the example of a girl from Sweden by the name of Greta Thunberg. No Greta today, but Jakub Hrban from Bratislava is sitting with me in the studio. He's one of those who started the Global Fridays for Future initiative here in Slovakia. We're recording the podcast on Friday. What does your usual Friday look like? Are you going out to the streets protesting somewhere in Bratislava or?
It depends on the Friday. Usually the Fridays for Future movement protests every Friday. We don't do that. First of all, because we are quite a small group of people and organizing strikes or protests can be quite difficult. So in average, we organize a strike each month. So once in 4 weeks, we have a Friday where we are walking on streets and asking people, especially young people, students, to join us and skip school.
As I recall, the protests in Slovakia, they occurred in Bratislava, Košice, Žilina, Liptovský Mikuláš.
Yes, also Banská Bystrica.
All right. So Fridays for Future, that's an initiative that was started by Greta Thunberg, a student. What is the situation in Slovakia like? In your initiative or movement, whatever we can call it, there's a lot of students. So what is the approach of teachers, Slovak teachers? Do they support Slovak students or they tell them that you must be sitting in a class?
The approach of most of the teachers is very supportive. It turns out that it's quite difficult to find the support with the headmasters and the principals of the school. They're usually the one that try to keep the students in the school. And we had some cases that we know of where the principals were searching for ways how to force students to stay in school and not joining strikes. So we see that sometimes as not really democratic behavior, because we feel that young people, even though that they're not at the voting age, they have the right to express their opinion, especially when it comes to an issue such important as climate change.
But if students wanted to, they could protest after school.
Yes, but the whole point was to strike. And that's the metaphor that Greta presented when she started striking as well for me, that in school we are kind of educating ourselves for the future, and in a current situation we don't know how the future will look like or even if there will be one for us. So we don't see any point educating ourselves for the future if the politicians are not doing anything to save it.
You yourself are not a student anymore, but as I said, a lot of students are members. So how many people are there in the movement Fridays for Future here in Slovakia?
In Bratislava, we are a group of active 6 people, and in Slovakia, it's around 15 to 20 people who are really part of the movement.
So that's like the core of your movement, but a lot of people came out and walked out onto the streets last year. I'm wondering, why did you decide to come up with an idea to bring Fridays for Future also to Slovakia?
I was interested in climate change since I was 14, so I was always trying to find a way how to deal with it. I wasn't very good at school, especially not in chemistry and physics and all the subjects that you need to become a scientist, for example. So I really tapped in the documentaries and stories of people who are trying to solve climate change, so scientists and people who are suffering from it. And I was really lacking the narrative that Greta brought. I think there were a few aspects that for me personally were the inspiration to become an activist myself, which was always kind of the way that I wasn't sure I want to walk. The fact that she was very young, and so at the age of 15, 16, having the voice of that girl saying, "I'm really scared of the future that awaits me, and I want you people who are in power to do something about it. That was the one thing. And then there was the thing of the truth that she spoke about climate crisis, which is the fact the planet will survive somehow. The question in the climate crisis is whether humanity will survive and at what cost and what conditions. So these aspects really kind of tapped into the fact that, okay, there is a brave young girl who is willing to speak the truth about it.
And if there was no Greta at all, would there be protests, gatherings around Slovakia today, or not at all? What do you think?
I think some definitely there would be. There's still, for example, the Extinction Rebellion movement, which was partly inspired or powered by Greta as well and her narratives, but kind of established without an inspiration in her. I think maybe the protest would be of a different shape. It wouldn't be young people striking on the street and skipping school. But I think the climate crisis is more and more visible every day for more and more people. So there would definitely be some kind of form of fight from the side of the citizens of the world towards the leaders. And
you said that teachers support you. How about parents? I mean, you talk to young people. Members of your movement are young people. So what is the response of parents to your activities in this regard?
We have few members in our movement who are really struggling to communicate with their parents on this issue. I think it's mostly because of the fact that sometimes, in a way, also Greta communicates, an older generation feels that she's blaming them, mm-hmm. which is partly right, but partly I don't that much agree with that.
Okay, let's move on to your demands, because it was not just standing outside in the street and protesting, but you laid down some demands. So what are the most important ones for you? As I remember, it's like about 10.
It's 12 demands. Some of them are very specific. Some of them are quite vague. But we tried... So they're a result of something... of the work of something called Climate Coalition, which is much more climate movements, also including Extinction Rebellion in Slovakia, that sit down together. And we said, okay, so these are the areas we would like the government to focus on. So the outcome of that is the 12 demands. For me personally, the top three, the most important ones is the ambition to reach the climate neutrality by 2040, which is the recommendation of the latest IPCC report. Then is, of course, that the government declares...
So climate justice.
Climate justice, of course, yeah.
What it means, we could say, is that you demand the government to declare that climate change is not just an environmental issue, but also a political issue. Social issue. So that's what climate justice is. So that's one. You mentioned carbon neutrality. What's the third one?
The third one is to declare a climate emergency in Slovakia.
Are we in that state of emergency?
Not yet.
But it can happen.
But it can happen. And that also translates for me to the climate justice part, where mm-hmm. we are still part of the top 10% of the world, which is responsible for more than half of the emissions produced. And for me, it's very crucial how we, for example, deal with a potential migrant crisis when it comes to it, due to the climate crisis happening in regions, for example, like Australia or Africa, where they will be causing lack of water and lack of food.
All these demands are sort of general. Have you, or what was the response of the government? Did they tell you anything? Did they react?
Yeah, they react. I mean, after the 20th of September, the Prime Minister released a video where he tried to present the outcomes of the last 4 years and the work of this government.
Was it enough for you?
No, I mean, the biggest argument they have is, or they're representing, is the fact that they're ending the coal industry. Mm-hmm. By 2023, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken, they stop yeah. funding it, which is, I don't know, for me it's a bit, I would say, not only late, but, you know, press ask us about solutions and we usually say listen to scientists. Not even the scientists have all answers. There is a lot of we don't know is around climate crisis. And I would very much appreciate if the government would say, okay, we know what your demands are. We are not doing enough. We are doing what we can, and we need to do better.
But wouldn't it better to tell them exactly what to do instead of laying down these general demands? I mean, if you suggest carbon neutrality by 2040, wouldn't it be better to just give them a list of things you really want to...
I mean, yeah, but that would require resources and team of scientists and economists and people who are experts in every single part of the public life. But yeah, we are talking a lot about the fact that in order to gain the carbon neutrality, we need to stop funding car industry, which is very heavily funded in Slovakia, and we need to start supporting very reliable and sustainable public transport.
Now, it's going to be really difficult to transform Slovakia, because we used to be an agricultural country. Now we are basically a car industry giant.
This kind of path was set, 10 years ago, I think, where a car boom industry in Slovakia started to kind of rise. And at that point, the government or the leaders already had the facts about climate change, and they made the decision to ignore it. And I understand that this is the problem of jobs, of finances, of the life standard that we are used to here in Slovakia to have. But, I mean, we have to realize that if we don't start to solve climate crisis step by step, each problem, especially the social ones we have, will only grow.
We would need another podcast to talk about the car industry. Definitely. And climate change and the interconnection between those two things. But just tell me how you personally fight the climate change, or just give us some tips what we should do to fight climate change.
I mean, there are the textbook ones that we are repeating, or people are repeating for last, 20 years. So yes, recycle. Don't buy what you don't need. Try to stop fast fashion. So use either swaps or secondhand shops. Try to eat less meat. Try to use public transport as much as you can. Don't fly. And these are the small steps that you can do in your daily day of lives. And then there are those beginnings of the systemic changes. So yeah, definitely. Ask your local representatives what they're doing to solve the climate crisis. Check if in your city or village the recycling happens in the way it's supposed to. Check your bank if they're not using your money, which you have on your account, to finance fossil fuel industry.
So these are the little steps that people can take up to sort of save the planet. We will see what politicians will do, Slovak politicians, after the elections. What would you say to the next prime minister and to the next government? You already hinted something, but what would be the most crucial thing for you personally or as the movement, Fridays for Future?
It takes a courage to face climate crisis and to really talk with the society and people with about the ambition solutions that are needed to tackle it. But yeah, I would say don't be a coward. Try to be more open than your predecessors and speak the truth and say, okay, we don't have things under control, but this is our number one priority to solve it.
Today we talked about climate change, the Fridays for Future movement, and in what way Slovakia should transform to be carbon-free and eco-friendly. A big thank you to Jakub from Fridays for Future for his time. Remember, dear listeners, you don't need to join Fridays for Future to protect nature and the environment around you. It's your actions that matter. Anyways, if you like Bringing World to the Classroom, tell everyone about it. You'll find each episode on Podbean and other platforms, or click on spectator.sk and have a listen. I'm your host, Peter Lohopolec, and I'll be back with a new episode very soon.